That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live from a frosty radio ranch this October 8th, 2022. And, We thank you for joining us, and we've got a full crew this morning. And Brother Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Paul, good morning to you as well.
Good morning.
And Jason, welcome back, and good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Remnant, we tell you good morning as well. Thank you for joining us, and we're glad that you're here for fellowship. We've got our Bible, we've got our coffee. And that's what the program is, an opportunity. That's what Pastor saw many years ago and did for many years as a way to have fellowship, to gather together, to talk about maybe some current events or just what is on the minds of like-minded Christians today. And as I've said before, I'm sure glad that we bounced it up to 7 o'clock Mountain instead of 7 o'clock Central. Because when it was at 5 a.m., that was, well, it worked. It worked. Good memories of that anyway. Good memories. But we'll have the phone lines open this morning. It is a live program this morning. If you hear it at a different time, lines won't be open, of course. But they are this morning. But we're going to start out with a word of prayer. And Jason, we'll ask if you would do that for us, sir.
Well, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us and over this land, and we ask, Father, that you just lead us, guide us, and direct us as your remnant, Father. We pray. We're living in exciting times. We're living in different times. We just appeal to you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, guidance that only you can grant us, and we ask that you just move us and use us in a mighty and powerful way, all to be pleasing to you. And we just pray Father, that you continue to shine your face down upon us, and we pray that we can be a blessing to you and your kingdom. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
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 And, well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open this morning, 307-745-5913. And like I said, a little frosty this morning. It is definitely fall. You know, lows in the high 20s, low 30s, and then up in the 50s and 60s during the day. Beautiful time of year. But it's a good reminder, I think, for everybody. It is for me as well, to get ready for winter. To just get ready, because, you know, the good Lord willing, it's coming. And it is good for us when we see these things in the physical to prepare. I mean, it's not like the old saying says, it's not our first rodeo. And so we know that, you know, that it's coming, but it is a good reminder. And I'm sure people will be cleaning out their fireplaces and going through the furnaces and, you know, maybe working on the vehicles, make sure they're not just water in the windshield wash, but some good, you know, cleaner that won't freeze type stuff. And so it's coming. We see that in the physical, but we see that in the spiritual as well. And I'll throw that out you know, what? Any comments on that? We see it in the spiritual as well.
Well, absolutely, we get see it, and this thing is falling apart. You know, when you take that out, everything, you have nothing but chaos, and this is what we have. The people have wanted their ears tickled for years, and this is they've got them, but now there's a price to pay. You know, and it's not going to be easy going through this. But you know, that article of the. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, that's an obvious the chicken game, but anyway, it's been a conversation for years, and that's quite exciting, that article, when you stop and think about it. This all has to happen, and then what's coming, because the wicked will be cut off, and they're asking for it big time. I mean, they're making a power play to take over the world economics worldwide, and they got the mechanics to do it, but they forgot one thing: God is in charge. So I think it's pretty. The more I think about it, the more exciting it is. I've been waiting for the fall of Babylon for years. I thought this would happen 30 years ago, but it didn't. So God has a way of dragging things out, or being kind, or whatever He's doing. But yeah, I think it's exciting time. But if you can't see it, because there's nothing solid, I see something where Biden's going to go to a digital currency or something. The other guy showed me. I didn't get all the details of it, but you can bet he's going to do it, because it's not on the news, but they just surprise us with this stuff, and all of a sudden, yeah, you got to do it. So, but the good thing is they'll not make it.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, there are so many things that are going on. You talk about the fall of Babylon. We talk about this. I mean, right now there are a couple stories that I've been following. Is one is the U.S. blood supply tainted, and they started looking at all these blood samples from they've been gathering in these blood banks for blood transfusions, and they said that basically since everybody's been, well, not everybody, but so many people have been vaccinated. Those are the people that donate blood. And even people that have been getting these blood transfusions, they just recently, they've had 43,000 blood transfusion patients that had blood clotting disorders. And this was onset in young children. And, you know, the other one that I was looking at was a study of, I think it was 1,006 people, but it was using a dark field microscope, and they were analyzing blood. And they said that out of the vaccinated people, they found less than 5% of them had normal-looking blood. And, you know, you talk about a destruction. What's happening is just what we were talking about early on with the beginning with this, is it's mutating your genes. It's changing DNA is what it's is what it's doing, and it's showing up, and it's in the blood. I mean, and it's talking about what the enemy comes to do, steal, kill, and destroy. And there is a destruction at hand. They're destroying people's bodies. They're destroying people's immune systems. They're trying to play God, in a sense, by changing DNA, which is what, you know, what God put in order, was what he built. And when you see that coming, I mean, it's coming down. I mean, it's coming down all around us.
Well, I guess what I have to say is just be ready. Make all the preparations that you can. And know that the Lord is still God, and he's in control of everything. And those of us that are his, we can really be at ease about the things that we see going on. Because, like what Paul said, they're going to be taken away. And if we remain faithful in these times, then we have nothing to worry about. And if we hold true, then our children's children will be able to have a secure future. And, the way I look at it, that's my mission. And I hope that's everybody else's mission, because all these people, whether they're taking the vaccine, digital currency, it's all deception. And we are not to be deceived. And keep studying, keep your faith strong, and know that the Lord is still God. And if you're out there, keep introducing the real Jesus to people. And he's the Word that became flesh. And that is what we can do. And that's what we are to do.
No, and what you were saying, it's like, you know, I mean, that's what people really need to be thinking about, is they need to be thinking about the next generation and the next generation after that and the generation after that. I mean, in the future, that thought is foreign to a lot of our people. And it's something that our enemies have understood very well, because they have played generationally, and looked at, you know, how they're going to get their agendas, you know, through, you know, not this generation, but the next generation, through indoctrination and stuff like that. And you know, that's what we really need to be focused on. I mean, Zach, you got children that are the same age as my children, and, you know, we need to make them better than us. We need to make them better Christians than us. We need to train them better. We need to make sure that they have better training than we had. We need to make sure that we do a better job than our parents did.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, we're doing this one job right now, and it's a pretty good sized job. And me and one of the guys decided that the other younger guy should run this job. And the question came up: is it too much for him? And my response was, because I had to think about it a little bit, my response was, he is learning the things that I learned in my late 30s, and he's learning in his mid-20s. So by the time he's in his mid-30s, this guy is going to be a machine, and he's going to know so much more and be so much better than I ever was. I'm, like, operating these big jobs, and he's getting a better opportunity than what I was given. And, like, I'm sure I was given a better opportunity than, say, Paul was given, you know, because of his age. And, you know, we need to capitalize on that and promote that growth and sometimes be willing to let go of the old thinking, because times are changing, information's handled differently, and they are going to be better than us if we do our jobs correctly. And when you see people given that opportunity, you know, promote it, encourage it. And, you know, because I was getting a little bit worried there a little bit, but he pulled through. So you're right. Like, what does Paul always say? Train your replacement. Well, don't train them in all the garbage that you had to sift through that you realized was garbage. You know, leave that out of the training. You know, add the stuff that you learned that made you better than the generations before. Because we're not still out there with a team of horses plowing. I mean, some people are, but that just seems like a lot of not unnecessary work. So, yeah, we got to train our guys better. Always better training. I agree, Jason. 100%.
Amen.
Well, it's human nature not to take on a responsibility you don't have to unless you have to. You know, I was 19 years old. I dumped with a crew of up in Saginaw, Michigan, taking down trees, and two of them, my brother left, and I was in charge, and two of them had been in prison, but they would work for me, you know, because I worked, you know, and I was, you know, you don't look down at them, but it kind of got dumped on me more ways than one, you know, but I did it. I guess it was in sometimes in your nature, you know. Some people can take responsibility and some can't. Some people have to be told what to do. It's just the way it is. They're different.
Yeah, you're right.
And there's a whole lot of people out there too that never wanted to have children because they never wanted the responsibility, and that's what a lot of people have hidden. And then there's a lot of people that have children, but they don't take that responsibility seriously, and they want the state to be, you know, the public school system to school their children and take that responsibility away from their children, and, you know, then blame the school system when they don't know anything. And it's the duty of parents to, you know, first and foremost, to make sure that you've got an education, and, you know, at least teach them to have a work ethic, which is something that a lot of people have failed to teach their children as well. You know, you don't have to have the brightest kid on the block. If he's got a good work ethic and he's honest, he can make a good living nowadays. And that's one of the, you know, just finding people to show up for work is really hard right now. And, you know, it's more than just, oh, they had that bailout money, or they got their check for a while, or they were getting this unemployment. It's a lot more than that. It's like the spell has been cast over the land, because there is, you know, the world's full of lazy people right now.
Well, you got a generation that trained them to go in the stock market and put their money in, they could live without working, you know, and then now you got kids that are totally dupless, that have no work ethic, don't know how to do anything. You know, if you take a kid and have him on a computer and homeschool and whatever you want to do, and then he's also sell out in the workforce, he don't know how to work. I learned how to work at a really young age, and at the time I wasn't too fond of it, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing. You know, Zach was taught to work early, I know that much, and I suspect you guys were, but you got to learn to work young. The only thing is, you don't want to overwork a kid too young. You can work, ease them into it. I've seen people overworked very young, and they ruin the kids. You know, you let that kid have some time off. You know, and the more responsibility he can take, give him a little time. You got to grow into that.
Exactly.
But yeah, you know, I wanted to work. You know, I wanted to bale hay. I wanted to drive, you know, get up in the hay mow. I just wanted to do it. I was just born different. But, you know, I see what everybody else was doing. You kind of want to imitate them, you know. But if you don't ever see anybody work or get told they should work or anything like that, they don't ever just pick it up on their own usually.
Yeah, it's a it's just everything is completely backwards today. It is. It's, you know, the the vision and the desires of the enemy are rampant, and you know, I don't want to say they've succeeded, but in a lot of ways they have. You know, they have done what the communists have said they would do. We'll come in and we'll get a generation. We'll change a generation, and now, you know, we have a generation that has been changed. And now this younger generation, just like was said, when you can not just have the stimulus checks coming, not just you know, keep them busy, locked on the computers, and satisfying self. But train them also that, yeah, and that's what it's doing, is training them to not have a work ethic. It's not training them to have a work ethic. It's like, preparing all these people for battle, knowing a battle's coming and not preparing them, preparing them not for the battle, and preparing them not to even function in society. And the headlines bear it out, from the killing, the raping, the carjacking, not just in Detroit, not just in Detroit, but all over. We see the lawlessness abounding, and a lot of it goes back to the parents of these, and we say children, it's not 12-year-olds out there, but 18 and 20 and 25-year-olds that are that way, because they haven't been taught. They haven't been prepared. It's just the opposite of what's been mentioned here, teaching a work ethic, in preparing our replacements, preparing our children to do better and be better than we are, than we were, especially at their age. That's part of it, right? Train up a child. It's part of it.
I worked with a guy with a company I sell for. He was out of Minnesota, but I see him once or twice a year, and he had a prison ministry, and he went there, when he was in the ministry, and see all these prisoners. And the bottom line was, it was a fatherless home is what caused the thing. It was just overwhelmingly, he said, that was a fatherless home. There was no father in the home. And that's what we have today. We have women raising kids. We got queers everywhere, lesbians. I know of 16 people within a 10-mile radius of my house that has a queer or lesbian in their family. Now that, and I live in a pretty rural area compared to a lot of stuff. It ain't rural, but it's not real populated either. But that's a huge, huge amount. Who knows what's going on in this country?
Yeah, my boy was telling me he was at school, and he seen another boy in somebody else's locker stealing a bunch of stuff. And my boy said to him, he goes, Dad, I told that kid, he goes, if my dad seen me or knew I did something like what you just did, his boot would be in my butt. There's no way that would fly. And he made the kid put the stuff back. And, but that's, it doesn't take, kids want to be included. And that's really what it takes to train up a child. Like, my kids, we're outside a lot. We got horses and animals, and is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but they take care of them. They, mom and dad are right there. I mean, they just want to be included. And that's really what it takes. Now, I'm not, as far as like instilling a work ethic in a child. And, you have to spend time with them and talk to them. And, and you have to want to know what's going inside their head, and let them say what they think about stuff. And, it just, because that's a little person. That's the future of this country. And this country belongs just as much to them as it does us now. And, they deserve that. They didn't ask to be brought here. We brought them here. So do your job. That's what I say.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed with that. That's for sure. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. Excuse me, 307-745-5913. And We'd be glad to take your call. And go ahead, Paul, or whoever.
I was talking to a waitress last week, and she was telling her kid's in school. He's 10 years old, I guess, and the teacher was talking about the black market, you know, and what was available at the black market. Well, long story short, is it, you know, was body parts is what was part of the black market. Now, what is that being taught in school for? You know, I said, you get that kid out of school immediately. You know, this is what's going on, and this is up north, you know, it's everywhere. You go read the books. If you got them in school, you read the books, what's in there, and you'll soon have them out, because you don't really realize what's in those books. School's got to go back to reading, writing, arithmetic. Eighth grade is enough. And then if you are trained to a higher level, there's colleges a rip off, and it's all liberals, and it's all destruction to people. They come out of there dumber than they went in, and they have no common sense.
Yeah. Guys, let's see. Let's try the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, Richard. I just wanted to let you know you've got a great show going on. I'm part of the work ethic, if you will. I was raised from a very young age to do things, and I was taught how to do stuff. And if I may, I do things in a professional manner. If I don't know what I'm talking about, I know who I can put you in touch with. I know who I can put a person in touch with right there at Scriptures for America, because all around the planet we've got people who are able to do stuff, and it's appreciated. God bless y'all.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you don't have to know how to do everything. You certainly want to have a kind of an idea of how things work, but if you know where to go, right? If you know how to study a manual, and you know, or if you know how to step inside or crawl inside a skid steer and figure it out, right? How it operates, that type thing. Yeah, you don't have to know it all, but know how it works.
And they're making all this equipment so complicated now that you can't just work on it. Like, you know, it's just overwhelming the way they put them together. And then they do that on purpose so you can't work on them. So they can come out and charge like $200 an hour to work on it. And, no, that's all by design. And it's not simple. And it should be. It could be. You know, the computer's a wonderful thing. It could be put on that motor for a monitor, but you can flip it off and still work. You know, a lot of this stuff, you know, computer and inventory is great stuff, but it's abused. It's controlling, and people don't know how to run a pencil no more. It's not taught in school to write their own name. They just, you know, type it out on a computer, and we're in a mess. But God said, I'll forget your children if you forget me, so that's a promise from him, too.
Amen. Well, guys, we got another caller, Tim from Wisconsin. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. I want to chime in because I have an idea. Because this past summer, I've been attending a Lutheran church, pretty much of a standard Lutheran church in Wisconsin. And it occurred to me almost immediately that this is not a real church. And it's just they're leaving all these important things out. And because of that, that's really one of the reasons our country is having all this problem, because of these churches. And I would think, you know, they're just it's not a real church. And you know, it leaves these things out. And so if we would have had real churches instead of these make-believe churches, you know, I was raised up in the Catholic Church, and I think that was pretty much of a make-believe kind of church, too. It wasn't the real church. And but if we would have a real church, if our children would have real churches and in this country, then we probably would have done okay. I think that's coming. You know, we're going to have that.
Oh, amen. And, thanks, Tim. Sure. You know, we're in agreement with you. It's Paul, I think you've mentioned it a couple times that, you know, the law has, when the law leaves the church, the law leaves the land. And the law, the word, as Brother Zach points out to us and reminds us, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us, the word Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end, all of it. For the most part, that's out of the mainstream churches. It is that word, that law, that perfect law of liberty is just not there. And if it's not in the church, how is it going to be in the land? It's certainly not taught. It's certainly not pushed and promoted to our children. And as a result, we see what we have in the land. Well, Tim, thanks so much for the call this morning.
Thank you, Richard. Bye.
By definition, the church is the called out one. You don't really go to church. You are the church. If you want to go to a fellowship, that's one thing. But everybody thinks you go to church. You are the church.
On the book The Light and the Glory, and read the story about the Puritans, how they came from England and to the colonies, and how they set up their charter, and their law book was the Bible. And you know, the Bible is 80% politics. And so when things started going south for them and they were having problems, they realized there is violation of that law. So he's absolutely right. It is the church's fault and the men's fault for believing what the churches and the preachers are saying. But the Puritans used the, and I can't, you'd have to read the story, but the way the authors wrote that, you know, they used the Bible as their law books. Not only was God their leader, he was their law, and he was their system of action. And once they, and if they were out of that system, they recognized that they were, you know, things weren't going right. So they used it as the way it was supposed to be used. Just like in Israel, when God gave them the law, that's how they were supposed to run their personal lives, their household, and their country. And that Tim guy is absolutely right. And in that book, it's a great example. So I would recommend getting that book, Tim, and reading it.
Yeah, that's American history the way it was supposed to be, you know, and people are starting to see it. I mean, if you can't see what's going on with this TV, and which I never, very rarely watch, and the government and what they're doing is totally against God's kingdom is what it amounts to. And so you get to choose. You have the kingdom of God or the kingdom of man, and the kingdom of man really has nothing to offer except usury. Using your money for something that you did and you paid them. So it's nothing but chaos is what the money, and people are starting to realize it, you know, and all their 401ks is nothing but paper. And you know, when you go looking for a sandwich or something, you got all the paper in the world, you can't buy one. That's going to be a little different, because this whole thing is a paper castle. Somebody lights a match, it's gone.
You know, Paul, like, you're right. Everything's a paper castle. And like you'd mentioned earlier that Biden's going to go to or he's thinking about or going to attempt to do a digital currency. And, you know, you just said it. What if you want a sandwich? What good is it? Like, the product is the value. If you're the guy that's got the product, you know, you're either going to be a big target if things get really skinny, or, you know, but the product is what's valuable. And people are so focused on money that, I mean, I'd rather have, you know, I'd rather have a good garden. I'd, you know, because I know I'm not going to starve to death then. And, you know, they're, I honestly believe they're going to be the haves and haves not. And, you know, everything that we talk about being prepared and all that stuff, I mean, it is our responsibility personally to be prepared in every aspect and have people that you know that you can trust in your lives. And, you know, I was listening to this one guy this week, and he was quoting George Washington. Another way to be prepared is a group of people that's prepared for war ensures peace, because a government isn't going to pile into a bunch of people that's insured for war. So, you, or that's ready for war. And, you know, that's another thing that we need to be prepared in and always be training at. We got to be trained in our Bible, in our self-preservation to produce our own food, be prepared. And, you know, if we have to fight, be able to fight. Look what Peter did to that soldier. He took that cat's ear off. You don't think he swung that sword around? Or do you think he was just lucky and taking the ear off?
You know, Zach, you talk about that. That's how the the Minutemen that fought the American Revolution, that's how they were. And I think if we take it back to what we were talking about earlier, what did they have? They had that they were prepared. They understood their Bible, and they had a work ethic. They could see that, you know, that it wasn't just something, you know, it wasn't just that afternoon on Lexington Green in Concord on April 19th. That wasn't it. You know, it wasn't just, well, let's go out, we're going to do one thing, and then it's over. No, they had a work ethic. They understood what it took, say, to build a house. That, you know, you had to prepare the site and lay the foundation and get your supplies and start putting it together. And it took time. And work and planning and intelligence and all of that. And so when that they were prepared, and when that war came upon them, they were ready for it. They were ready for it. Now it brought its own you know, its own needs and preparation and training as it went on, but they were ready for it. And I like how you mentioned that. And that's how we are to be today. We are to be ready. Philippians 1 tells us to, you know, to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And that's not just when we're on the radio, not just when, you know, we are at church or doing church things, but always. Always. And it goes on and say and says, in no way alarmed by your opponents. We know that no matter what happens, we have the victory. We do. And when we do that, it tells us that that's a sign of destruction for them and salvation for us. And, you know, it's good for us to remember that. That, you know, we are not, you know, it's not, you know, the Rambo movies, oh, they're pretty exciting and neat to watch, but that's not real life. That's not how it is. You know, it's not. It's we conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, not alarmed by our opponents, and that in itself is a sign of destruction for them. And they know it. They know it. I think that's why they're pushing and promoting all that they are, the sin in the land, and like Tim said about the churches. No, you know, he reiterates what we have heard and what we have all seen in these mamby-pamby Judeo-Christian antichrist churches in the land today that preach a false Jesus. They don't preach the word. They'll pull one or two verses out and then use their velvety, buttery voice to make the people there feel good and accept sin. And and leave them in a spell. Pastor's booklet, we've sent dozens out just over the last month or so, a double-minded people. I think we're playing those messages on the radio, because I've sent more out in the last month or two than I have probably in the last 6 months. But that pamphlet, that treatise does a great job of explaining it, of, you know, these people that hold the spell that so many in the land are in, that hold that will up is up and down is up, and so I don't know, you know, because that's what's presented to the people, exact opposites, and they're under this spell that everything that is going today is good. You know, they're torn between these two kingdoms, this, like you mentioned, I guess, Paul, this kingdom of man or kingdom of God. And they're opposites. They are. And, you know, like Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other, or vice versa. And for those that are, you know, that think, you know, that are living those country western songs, you know, hell raising all week and sitting on the pew on Sunday morning, that doesn't get it. That doesn't get it. It just doesn't. Anyway, my soapbox, but
they knew the power of a danger of a top-heavy government. You know, George Washington said government can be a faithful servant like fire. It can be a faithful servant like fire. It can, if it's keeping you warm is one thing, if it's in your rafters is trouble, you know, and that's just what it was. And I heard the other day it said somewhere that we are living the very thing we fought to get rid of when Britain, you know, we got rid of them. That was a top-heavy government. Now, Britain is Judah, and they were a fierce people when the Romans were scared to death of them, because they fought with such ferocity that they just had no fear of death, and they were the problem. But I think they, over time, they got arrogant, and they walked in here in the Redcoats, thought we were going to bow down. Well, George Washington spent some time on his knees and all his guys with him, and God delivered him from that monster. And in this thing, we're going to get delivered from this monster that's running our life right now, too. So it happens all the time. I read some quotes out of the 1700. It's just like they are today. They had the same fear of top-heavy government, you know. And this is exactly what we have. The government has nothing to offer that it didn't take from someone else. There's nothing. I have never lived in a communist country. This has been a communist country my whole life, and I'm 71, and it didn't just happen. Because when they can give you payments for doing nothing, you're in trouble. And that destroys work ethic in itself.
And Remnant, we'd encourage you. Go ahead, Jay.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna remind Remnant. You know, don't lose heart. We're not to do that. Luke 18 tells us that Jesus was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. And so, if you get discouraged, sometimes it seems like it's unwinnable. Whether it's the day you're trying to get through. Or the life you're trying to live, if you're doing your best to live it for Christ, just remember that. Pray. Don't lose heart. Go back to the Word. Go back through the Psalms. You know, go back to that Word, and it'll help set you straight.
Well, if you've got a rented army that comes and fights your battles for you, and you got a man of conviction, the man of conviction is going to kick his hind in every time, because he is. Look at David. He went and took that sucker down. He said, "You're mocking my God," and all the other people stand around. Well, and then he picked on him, little sucker. He, you know, bore out of his gourd, you know, herding sheep, and he got good with that sling, and he could put it where he wanted to, and he did it. But that's a man of conviction as opposed to a rented armor. You know, today they're fighting for the money. People don't have conviction anymore.
No, that's for sure. You can see that. You can see that just about every direction that you look, and that's one thing that you know that comes with having the law of God written on your heart. You have conviction, but you know they've taken the law away. They've taken the Bible out of the churches. They've taken it out of the schools, and people don't know what the Word of God is. And when you remove that, you have nothing to be convicted of. And you know, conviction is something that you know people need to have. And when they, what I've seen a lot of people is when they get in back into the Word of God and they start reading it and they start learning it, and it's like, you know, okay, you know what, it's you know, we know what sin is, transgression of the law, but if we don't know what the sin is, then it's hard to be convicted of it. And I've seen a lot of people. I mean, the fall of Babylon is not going to be easy for everybody, and it's not going to say that it's going to be fun to go through, but it is exciting, and it's something that has to happen. And that's one of the things that, you know, me and Dad used to talk about a lot. It's like, when the fall of Babylon comes, what is going to be what's going to be one of the number one issues? And you know, we talked often about how much that people wouldn't be able to handle their freedoms or their liberties that were going to come with being unyoked from Babylon. And, you know, it's just, you know, it's when we see it, we don't need to be looking back. And I think that's a lot of people. It's they're going to be found looking back and wanting Babylon back. And you know, it's definitely exciting times, because we're seeing, you know, it's a remnant of a remnant, and that's who we're talking to, and that's what we're talking about, and those are going to be the ones that are going to reestablish the kingdom. And it's exciting, and it's going to be a few, and there's going to be a lot of people that just don't want to have any part of it.
Absolutely.
Well, I would say if you went ahead and you went on the street and asked 90% of the people, they'd love to go back 10 years and was a little more comfortable. And there's nothing to go back to. You know, I figured that a long time ago. There's nothing to go back to. There's nothing there except, you know, slavery and mental bondage. And but I would say that over 90% of the people would go back there in a minute. They come out of Egypt. Let's go back where the leeks were. You know, they didn't like that freedom so much. Some of them didn't. But Moses and Aaron and a few others could see the writing on the wall. They were being led by God, and that's a whole different mentality than anybody around me, for the most part. They ain't got a clue where I'm coming from, and I don't really know how to tell them, to be honest with you.
And that story of the Exodus, Paul, it is like you said, Jason, when that fall of Babylon comes, like the fall of Egypt. That was the fall of Egypt. You know, when a million people left and all their soldiers and Pharaoh were drowned in the sea, guess what? That was the fall of Egypt. And that's how the fall of Babylon will be. It will. But you guys are absolutely right. There's so many that they don't know what to do. All they know is this Babylon that they lived in, just like in the scriptures. All the children knew then was was Egypt. All they knew was work, 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 gather more straw, make your own, gather your own straw, make your more bricks, slavery, slavery, slavery. And like you said, Paul, even when they had their freedom, when they were taken away from that, they didn't know how to, how to be godly. And they had to be told, they had to be reprimanded. They certainly were blessed in their wilderness wanderings. But they had to be taught, and most of them couldn't get it. Most of them just didn't get it. You know, we talk, it was Caleb and Joshua that made it of that generation. Joshua to replace Moses, and Caleb, the Bible says, because he had a different spirit. And that's what that's that remnant of a remnant you mentioned, Jason, that have that spirit of Caleb today, a different spirit, a different mentality. They look at things different. They got a different pair of glasses than everybody else. And that's that remnant of a remnant that sees this Babylon falling. that see the difference in man's kingdom versus God's kingdom, that see the filth that is poured into the public fool system. The books that they use, our tax dollars paying for these pedophiles to dress up and have drag queen hours and show this pornography to the children in the schools. The remnant of the remnant see that. And you're right, Paul. You try to explain that to people. You know, it's like when I'm sure in the days of Egypt, hey guys, we can be free. God wants to set us free and have us be, you know, honor Him instead of all this. What? Who? Where? What? You're crazy, man. It was that way then, I'm sure. It's certainly that way now. And again, because the law, the word, where do you hear it in the land today? Very, very few places. It is, as the word says, we've talked about it, that famine of the word. Because it's not there for the people because they're not looking for it. They aren't.
Yeah, you know, the whole government controlling, because, you know, you used to have the post office. That was a government function. Now you have the Postal Service, which was bought out by Continental Can. I don't know where it's at today, but that's our service. Your in-channel rumor service. They're not legitimate part of the true God government. You've got it in Michigan. You've got Michigan State and the state of Michigan. Now, Michigan State is a geographical place. The state of Michigan is a corporation. Which is, and it's really very, very simple. Then it's nothing but a corporation. We're all part of the corporation by our signature. We jump into it, but that's the whole difference there. From a free country and a slave country, we've been enslaved for a long, long time. Now they're tied the string on the bag and close it up. So, but they're not going to make it.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
It's the gospel. It's the good news.
That's right. And Matthew 25:10 tells us, the bridegroom came, and he's coming. Don't forget that fact. He's coming back. And he's not coming back to forgive for sin. He's already done that. The Bible says that when Christ returns, it's not in regard to sin. It's in regard to rule and reign. And Matthew 25:10 says, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him. And the door was shut. And that's the gospel, folks. That's the gospel. Part of it. Part of that word. And, you know, others came. Oh, Lord, Lord. And he said, no, I don't know you. And so there's that distinction, that right and left, goats and sheep, good and evil, up and down, however you want to say it, however you want to look at it. That distinction that Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, makes. And you want to get in that door. You want to, as it says, those who were ready. You want to be ready. You do. Well, guys, we're all but out of time. Thanks for joining us, and sure appreciate it. And Remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can do that by going to scriptures4america.org, starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain. That's 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, and 7:30 on the West Coast. And we'll start out with a little insight. We'll have a timeless pulpit truth. I think we're in the Words and Power series right now. And talk about a foundational, hard-hitting, convicting message, set of messages by Pastor Peters. Words and power. Truth that isn't taught out in the school system, but is certainly all throughout the Scripture. And so I hope you tune into that. We'll have a new live message for you as well. And we'll give you the opportunity to take communion. And so we invite you to join us. you know, Pastor Peter saw this many years ago and set this up to be able to do that, the live streaming. And I think the LaPorte Church of Christ was live streaming before anybody else. And but it's an opportunity for you if you want to take it. It's there if you want to join us. And again, at scriptures4america.org, and we'd be glad to have you join us. Thanks. God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Just the way.